the missing element in communication. We want to try to gain from the Word of God some principles this morning that will help us in the communication in our home. Now, a married couple had a really bad argument, and they ended up giving each other the silent treatment. 2 days into their standoff, the man realized, though, that he needed his wife's help in order to catch a flight the next morning. He was going to be traveling to Chicago on business. He had to get up at 5 a.m., not wanting to break the silence, but knowing that he needed his wife's help, he decided to write her a note. And so he got a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote a note saying, "Honey, please wake me up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. Well, the next morning he woke up, and he knew immediately when he woke up there was a problem because the sun was already up. And he looked at the clock, and sure enough, it was 9 a.m. He had missed his flight. He was so frustrated. He was so angry, and he was determined he was going to get through the house. He was going to find his wife, and he was going to give her what for not helping him out and getting him up at 5 o'clock. As he was getting out of bed and getting ready to go do that, he noticed a piece of paper on the nightstand, and it said, "Honey, it's 5 a.m. and time to wake up." And Sometimes we're not communicating at home like we should. And sometimes we're not supporting one another like we should. And sometimes we could use a little help from the Word of God in our biblical communication. We want to talk about the missing element from the Word of God in our marital and in our home communication. Now, 60% of divorces are sparked by poor communication. And there's no question that we have to examine the way we communicate at home. It doesn't matter if you've been married a month or a year or 10 years or 20 or more. At any stage of life, the way we communicate within the four walls of our home constantly has to be evaluated. Why? Because what comes naturally usually doesn't work. What I naturally want to communicate often is what I should keep my mouth shut about. And I need to be filled with the Spirit of God and speak as the Lord would have me to speak as a husband and as a father and so on. And so sometimes when we're just kind of following the natural whim of our heart or what we think ought to be said, in reality, that's probably sometimes what we should not be saying. And we need to filter that through what we're learning in the Word of God. And that's what marriage is. It's a spiritual union where God is the center thereof. And we don't need human tools and philosophies. We need God's tools and philosophies that we gain from His Word. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, where we're going to read in a minute, one of Jesus' disciples has lost his patience with the Samaritans. And here's why. Christ had set his face toward Jerusalem. He was on a mission to get there. He had a job to do. And this offended the Samaritans. The Samaritans interpreted this as Christ had no time for them. And here he was coming into a city of theirs. He was needing lodging there. And he had sent some representatives ahead to care for some of those needs and to make some of those arrangements. And these people wanted nothing to do with the Lord or his disciples. And they had no intention of helping. And these disciples who are infuriated by this make this suggestion. Notice in Luke chapter 9 and verse 54. "And when his disciples James and John saw this," so the refusal of the Samaritans to help, "they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?'" Lord, these people are not giving us a good hotel room for a good rate, and they won't line up breakfast the next morning, so why don't we just burn their city down? Was what these disciples were saying. And Jesus says in verse 55, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirit ye are of.'" He says, "Guys, that's the flesh. That's not how we're going to handle this situation. We're going to handle this situation in the spirit. In the flesh, you're frustrated. In the flesh, you're angry. In the flesh, you want to get even and you want to do something back to them. But you know not what spirit you're in." And you know what? Sometimes in our own home, around the people that we have a relationship with, that are our family, sometimes we say things or we do things, and it could be said of us, "You know not what spirit you're in. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't behave that way. That isn't the way that God intended this to be done. You are in your own spirit." And that's why we need the principles of the Word of God to evaluate, comparing to our communication, so that we can grow in grace in this area and honor the Lord in the way we communicate with our spouse and with our family. So how do we do this? And let's dive into our outline this morning. First of all, we must understand the four elements of communication. Now, what are the four basic elements of communication this morning as we dive into this study from God's Word? Number one, or letter A, you have the facts, all right? Now, what are the facts as they pertain to communication? Well, they are defined as the foundation stones upon which the house of communication rests. The Bible speaks of, speak the truth in love in Romans 12, 17. Recompense no evil, or to man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So God says, speak the truth in love. Provide that which is honest. And without facts, there is no honest communication. We have to have the truth spoken in love that we might have real communication in our home. So one of the elements of basic communication in the home is you've got to have facts. Number two, and letter B, you have feelings. Now, what are feelings? They are defined, the emotions I experience that are based on my view of the facts. So there are the facts, there are the truth, there are, this is the, you know, unvarnished honesty that we're dealing with, transparency in our home. But then there are the feelings, and our feelings are the way the facts make us feel. And everybody feels differently. Men and women feel differently. Men tend to respond according to their thoughts. Women tend to respond according to their feelings. Everybody has feelings based upon the facts as they see them. Then letter C, you have perceptions. So in basic communication in the home, you have facts, you have feelings, and then you have perceptions. Now, what are perceptions? Watch this. Perceptions are the conclusions formed from my view of the facts and the feelings they generate. Okay? So the perceptions that we have in our home are the conclusions formed from my view of the facts and the feelings they generate. Now, allow me to illustrate. Look right up here. There's a group of kids heading home from school in the afternoon, standing on a street corner, awaiting their opportunity to cross. As they gather there, they see a dog coming down the road to them, making his way right for the group of kids. The kids are excited, they're smiling, they're calling to the dog, anticipation of hugging and petting and being around that dog. It was going to be fun. One girl in the group, terrified, didn't want anything to do with the dog, was screaming at the dog to not come near the group, and was kind of backing up as it was showing it was coming. The rest of the kids kind of made fun of the girl, but what those children did not know is that girl had suffered from a vicious dog attack. So the sight of that dog coming to those children incited in her a different response than it did the rest of the children. Now watch this very carefully. Fact, there was a dog present. Feeling in the heart of that girl, fear. The perception in the heart of that child, danger. Now, was there danger? No. The dog came up to the group and the kids petted and had fun for a while, and he went his way and they went their way and everything was fine. But because of her history, because of her past, because of her previous life experiences, she perceived something that to her was very real. Now, this is a very important principle when it comes to communication and marriage. Because there are the facts, the dog was there. There are the feelings, in some children, excitement, and some fear. But then there is the perception. And the perception in the heart of that little girl was danger. The other kids didn't understand it, but it was real in her. And there may be times in your marriage, and I certainly don't need you to raise your hand and testify, but there may be times in your marriage where you feel like, I don't understand. How did that lead to this? Perception. It's the conclusion of the fact plus the feeling. What it says to the husband and wife who's dealing with the I can't understand is dig deeper. Study, learn. There's something here you have to know. And that leads to then the ingredient, letter D, of mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is my commitment to appeal to another's perception for the purpose of ministering to them at their level of need. It's saying, okay, I did not get that response. Our perceptions were totally different, but I am going to commit to learn and appeal to that so that I might minister to my spouse. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Everybody has a paradigm. Everybody has a lens, a set of perceptions that they view life through that affect their entire life. The Bible says in Romans 14, 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So everybody's going to see things differently. As husbands and wives, you're going to see the same thing differently oftentimes. And a key to communication is to learn, where is our spouse at? What are they seeing? What are they feeling? How is that making them respond? What is their perception? We're so good at wanting people to get our side. We're so good at wanting people to understand us and how we feel. And sometimes in our marriages, we fail to put the effort necessary to understanding our spouse. Where are they at and why? And we want to work beyond our natural desire and capability of being understood to truly be sensitive and understand the position of our spouse. What is it that they're going through? What is it that we need to understand that we might communicate more deeply? Now, it's not difficult to do this. Everyone in this room has ministered to someone on a level of need you did not have. You say, Brother Roll, what are you talking about? If we asked the nursery workers this morning to bring all the babies into his design during our donut and coffee time, and to carry the babies around from person to person, you would be amazed at the most macho men in our class and their ability to speak baby talk. They can grab a baby in their hands and they can ooh and ah and Google and do all this stuff and they can talk baby talk. Why? Because they know that's how you talk to a baby. That's the need that they have and they can get on that level. Isn't it amazing that when we are around a baby or a young child, the length we will go to resonate with them. But sometimes in our own marriage, when we're not seeing eye to eye on something, what we're unwilling to do to bridge that gap. And that's where mercy comes in. We have to be committed to understanding, to meeting the needs, and to ministering to our spouse. And we don't want to miss this incredible opportunity. And that's what mercy is. Mercy is the missing element in biblical communication. It's why many marriages struggle in the area of communication because there is no mercy. There's no bridge-building process to bring the husband and wife together in an area they don't see eye to eye. So how can we have that in our marriages? Well, to help us understand that, I want us to first of all see number two, what mercy is not. Now, what are we not talking about this morning? I'm going to give these to you very, very quickly. So write fast. Here we go. Letter A. It's not feeling sorry for someone in trouble. It's not just feeling sorry for somebody for the situation you're in. That might be pity, but it's not mercy. In other words, I'm not asking husbands and wives to say, yeah, my spouse is really messed up and I feel bad for them. That's not what we're talking about in mercy, okay? Letter B, it's not uncontrollable emotions. Sometimes we think that mercy is just uncontrollable emotions, that, well, if we could just express that way, we would be showing mercy. Mercy is not that. Letter C, mercy is not the overlooking of sin. That's not merciful. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're advocating for here in the marriages of our class. Letter D, mercy is not grace. Now, grace describes God's attitude toward the lawbreaker and the rebel. Mercy is his attitude to those who are in distress. Two different things. Mercy is not grace. Letter E, mercy is not a guarantee. Well, I thought that if I showed somebody mercy, people would show me mercy. Not so. Now you say, well, the Bible says in Matthew 5, 7, that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, that is true. But it doesn't mean if you're merciful to your spouse, they're going to be merciful to you. You say, well, then what does it mean? Psalms 18, 25 answers that, and I put it in your notes. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. So God says, when you show mercy, I'm going to show you mercy. So you may show mercy to your spouse and they don't show you mercy. Don't quit. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. Continue to show mercy, because God said, I'm watching and I'll show you mercy. To the merciful, God will be merciful. So these are some things that mercy is not. We have to have that clear for understanding. Then let's dive into, though, what is mercy? God shows us exactly what mercy is. Now, the word mercy comes from the Greek word eleman and involves three specific areas that are especially needful and meaningful to marital communication. What are they? First of all, letter A conscious and decisive thought. Okay? So what do we need in our communication as husband and wives? Mercy. All right? That's the key to the bridge building, getting us on the same page in areas of a little more complexity in our marital relationship. How do we get there? It begins with a conscious and decisive thought. Now, a misleading assumption about love is that it is confined to the emotion. We've talked about this a little bit in past lessons, but it's not all just about our feeling. It's certainly also about our will and our mind. And we want to make sure that we are making a conscious and decisive thought that we are going to show mercy in the communication with our spouse. Notice in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy what? Mind, right? With all thy mind. We have to first make the thought that we are going to communicate this way in our marriage. And one of the means of loving our spouse is through the mind, making the decision to give mercy. Now, how is this done? And you have this in your notes so we can move fast. First of all, it involves a decision of the mind to truly understand your spouse's needs, okay? 1 Peter 3:7, dwell with them according to knowledge. The couple is exhorted in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, God doesn't accept the excuse of, I'll never understand my spouse. God says, F, fail, go back to class. You're not allowed to audit. You cannot just say, I don't understand. That's not an acceptable answer when it comes to marriage. Well, we're just never going to figure this out. God says, yes, you can. If you make a decision in your mind, I'm going to love the Lord God with my mind. I'm going to love my spouse with my mind. I'm going to make a decisive thought, a committed decision to understanding where my spouse is at. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn. I am not going to forfeit and give up. I'm going to seek to understand. That's where it begins. Then secondly, it involves focusing your thoughts squarely on the needs you learn about. Now, this implies that we're concentrating on our spouse more than ourselves. Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was filled with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. A basic understanding of the needs of our spouse is the first step to being able to show mercy. How can we show mercy and build a bridge if we don't even know where we're going? So it begins with an understanding. Why is that girl scared of that dog? And the kids can make fun of her till the cows come home. The fear is real in her heart. You may not understand your spouse, and it may be to the point where you make fun of one another. I don't know, but I'm just telling you what's in their heart to them is real. And what God is commanding us, the missing element in our biblical communication, is show mercy. Find out why that fear is there. Learn, concentrate on the needs they have, and devote yourself to it. Then thirdly, mercy will lead you to a decision to go further than just understanding to focusing on your mate's needs. And so we're going to make a decision, we're going to learn, and then it is going to lead us to do something about it. This is what Jesus did. He knew that he was God the Son. And yet, because of love, he did something for us. The Bible says in Philippians 2:6, who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus Christ had a ministry of mercy. Thank God for that. Because of that, we're going to spend an eternity in heaven if we placed our faith and trust in him. But where did the ministry of mercy of Jesus Christ begin? A decision. He looked at our state. He knew what he could do, and he decided to do something about it. The decision was the initiator of the ministry of mercy of Christ. And I'm telling you, every one of us in this room, if we are going to give mercy to our spouse, and if we are going to strengthen biblical communication in our marriage, it will first begin with the decision. I am committing to do this. I must have a decisive thought. Then letter B, it must include a shared pain. Now, mercy is the ability to get right inside the other person's skin until we see things with his eyes and think things with his mind and feel things with his feelings. A man was walking down a city sidewalk and passed a grade school and saw a very unusual sight. There was a circle of children, and all of whom were weeping and clutching their stomachs. Upon investigation, he realized that in the center of the circle of these boys and girls was a little boy laying on the ground and his arms wrapped around his stomach and sobbing and crying loudly. The man walked up to one of the children standing there in the circle and said, "What is going on?" And the little girl looked up at him and said, "Well, sir, we're all having pain in Jimmy's tummy." And all of the kids saw what Jimmy was going through, and they didn't really know how to help him, but they felt they could have the same thing. And that's what mercy is. We may not be going through the same hurt, but we can crawl inside of somebody else. We can learn. We can adapt that feeling to our very own. 1 Corinthians 12:26, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored and all the members rejoice with it." We want to make sure that we have a shared pain. That if our spouse is bothered, we should be bothered. If our spouse is hurting, we should be hurting. If our spouse is celebrating, we should be celebrating. It should not work in our marriages like, yeah, you know, we'll see her next week. Yeah, she's just going through this thing. No, this is marriage. We are two becoming one. And when someone is feeling something, the other spouse should be feeling that as well. And by the way, this leads us to compassionate prayer in our life for our spouse. In Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in the bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Jesus crawled inside of our need. He understood it, and he felt what we felt. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18, For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. And because Jesus did that, we can boldly go to the throne of grace. So it's a decisive thought. It's a shared pain. And then lastly, letter C, it is a deliberate action. Now, this understanding and shared pain, it's not going to be identical with our spouse, but it must lead us to a point of action. Now, listen very carefully as I close this thought. It's the effort and the effort alone that can be seen by your spouse. Watch me very carefully. When you try to understand your spouse, you're not going to understand 100%. In other words, your wife or your husband may be going through something and feeling a certain way. And as you try to understand that feeling, you may not get there 100%. I'm not going to bat 1,000 in understanding what Susanna feels or thinks about everything all the time. And I want to give you an inside secret. That doesn't even matter. You don't have to take a test at the end to see if you got it 100%. To be honest, it doesn't even matter. It's the effort. The effort is where you're graded. It's the effort in this area that makes all the difference in the world. When a husband or a spouse is putting forth the effort to understand where is their spouse, why are they here, why do they think that way, why do they feel that way, what happened in their life, what have I done, what could I do better. When that effort is paramount, when it is obvious for all to see, That's the difference maker. When the decisive thought and the shared pain leads to a deliberate action, where an effort is being put forth that our spouse can see. This is what God did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Lord understood a point of need, and so he gave. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the ultimate expression of mercy is not found in the in what we feel, but rather in what we do. So the ultimate expression of our mercy is not in what we know or what we feel or what we can understand. It is in what we do. Now, I give you this in the conclusion. Every single person needs a safe place. You need it, and your spouse needs it. And can I ask you a question as we close? And I want you to think about this. Does your spouse have a safe place in your arms, in your heart? When they're feeling fear, do they sense from you mercy? When they're feeling a disconnect, do they sense from you an effort to build a bridge? And I implore all of us this morning to implement the missing elements in our communication. Mercy. Let's no longer just sum it up to, well, we're never going to agree on that, or I'm never going to understand that, so let's just keep moving. Let's not do that. Let's say, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment this morning. I'm going to try. And I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to learn. And I may not fully understand, but my effort is going to prove that I want to give mercy to my spouse. And I want to understand where they are. And I want to understand what they're going through so that we can communicate stronger, more intimately, that we can have a stronger marriage relationship. And that they know, no matter what it is they're facing, or how it is they feel, there's a safe place here with me. And may that be developed and established in every relationship in this room. That's a very different approach to biblical communication, a different lesson that I've ever taught. But I want to tell you, this week I was challenged in my heart, show mercy. Make the decision that Christ made, a decisive thought, a sharing of pain, but then a deliberate action. Let's do something about it together this week. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to insert mercy as the missing element in our biblical marital communication into our relationship this morning. May we strive to make a decisive thought, to share pain, and then leading to a deliberate action. May we do something about understanding our spouse this week that is seen, that is felt, that is obvious, and may it bring about synergy. A couple that is better together. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our families this week. Help us to be a part of this missions conference. Speak to our hearts is our prayer, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.